nice to see these youngins up here playing the drums and the keys. That's good stuff. Amen. And the youngin on the bass, too. Wow, good job. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here tonight? Amen. Well, I'm not going to speak long because I want to move into some ministry time, but I feel the Lord has some words that he wants to speak just to seal this time. I love what Pastor Garland was praying at the beginning. It's important for the Holy Spirit to seal it. How many have had a good weekend? Amen. A good long weekend. It's been a great time, and we're just so honored to be with you all and to be in the room with you and to be here. And what a beautiful facility. What a beautiful place. And there's too much good food around here. It's dangerous. And where do we go today? We're with the Paula Deans. That's a dangerous place when everything is delicious. And but that was fun. That was a really good time. But on behalf of all of my family here, because you're all family, we just want to thank you all for hosting us. And it's just amazing to not just come to a place and minister, but to actually be in relationship and in friendship, and it's family for us. And whenever we are in Louisiana or here in Tennessee with you, it's always an honor and a privilege to be here. So I'm excited tonight, and I had a good nap. we were talking about naps earlier. There's different kind of naps. There's a pajama nap where you get into the covers. And then there's a regular nap. You just take off your shoes, you lay down. I think I had a pajama nap now that I think about it. I definitely was on the covers, under the covers. And you know when you got an extra pillow and you just hold, yeah, that's where I was, yeah. And so it was the glory and the lifter for sure. After Paula Deen, you have to have some kind of nap. The carb intake is unbelievable there. I won't tell the doctors at all what we were eating, but we were misbehaving for a minute. We were there, okay. Once in a while, you can misbehave. Everything in moderation, right? Everything in moderation. But I just wanted to just share with you tonight and start off. In fact, is Gabe coming back? Or is he coming around? Oh, he's getting water. Okay. I want him to just kind of just play. But I want to start off before I get going and just pray for some miracles in this room. And we've just, as you know, and as you've been in too, we've been in a time where we've seen miracles on a weekly basis, 3, 4, 5 miracles on a weekly basis where people are getting healed. And I mean, we're talking about every kind of thing you could possibly think of. I can just tell you story after story, but just mighty things that God is doing. Actually, we were talking to a young lady today. She had very severe carpal tunnel in both hands. And it was just one of those things like, do you want Jesus? Are you ready for Jesus to heal you? And she's like, yes. And she just got saved, and she just got water baptized, and she just kind of like, you know, that baby Christian type faith where everything, the grass is green, the sky is blue, and Jesus is on the throne. You know that? You know those moments? And she's just like, she's coming into a faith where God can do anything. And so she's had 20-year-old carpal tunnel, severe in both hands, and she came forward for prayer. We anointed her with oil, and we were just talking to her today, and the Lord healed her instantly, right there in the room in front of us. And she's like, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. And we checked with her again, and it's gone, and it's been a couple weeks now, and it's gone. And the Lord healed her. And so what that does is that causes individuals like that to let other people know. It's like the woman at the well where she, I need to tell you about a man who knew everything about me. And you see that whole story in John chapter 4 where after Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, lift up your eyes for the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. And they lift up their eyes and here comes this woman with an entire village of people coming to Jesus because of what he did. And I just believe in this time that in your churches, in these moments, God's going to do some miracles that are going to release more souls to be saved. the greatest evangelists. And by the way, we're in an hour, we're going to see some great evangelists rise up. Do you know that? One of them possibly could be a guy like Joe Rogan. I mean, you see what's going on with him. He has questions about Jesus. He was with Wesley Huff. Have you ever seen Wesley Huff? And they're having this conversation. And you can see Joe is like, I mean, he's asking the questions. And Wesley was giving him the answers. And God's doing something in his heart for him to be asking the questions. Could you imagine a guy like that get, like, radically saved? Because he's radical about his message. He's radical about everything that he does. And he has the largest podcast in the world. I mean, the listenership. Who listens to three-hour podcasts? You know what I'm saying? But they listen to it. People listen to it. And he has all these people coming in. And when he gets saved, somebody like him gets saved. There's others like that. When they get saved, they're going to be the greatest evangelist the world had ever seen. And they're going to put some of us to shame who've been in the way for a very long time. In the way for a very long time. I just believe that God, I mean, you know, talking about this girl and talking about other ones, I mean, you know, they get saved, they're getting baptized, they're getting healed, God's power is coming on them, and this is all they know. They don't know any other version. And I just believe that your churches are going to see that. There's a play it was reminded of this last weekend. My daughter Haley here, let's say Haley, say hey Haley. That's our oldest. She loves this play called Hamilton, and it was Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote Hamilton, and there's this one song where it says, "The eyes of history are on you." There's another one that says, "I'm not throwing away my shot." You know this play. I'm not throwing away my shot. This is my opportunity. It's like Eminem back in the day. I don't know if he knows Eminem, but he was... I'm not going to miss my opportunity. And I have one shot, one moment in history where I'm going to change things. I mean, if the world's talking like this, the church needs to talk like this. We are not going to miss the day of our visitation, the day of opportunity, the time where God is moving. And in the play, there's another phrase, "The eyes of history are on you." And I believe that this is a time for us to make history in the earth. And God wants to use y'all. Can I speak to Louisiana up in here? He wants to use y'all to do great things. So when you go back out of a conference like this, you get filled up with the power of God. And you're not just getting filled up with gasoline. You're getting filled up with the Spirit of God. And you're at the fueling station here. And this is the Spirit of God filling you up. So when you go back, you're going to see great things take place. I just believe that you're going to stand in the pulpit, Pastor Garland, and the power of God's just going to come into the room, and just miracles are just going to be released all over the place. And it was like, I think I read that whole story from Shambach last time I was in New Orleans, and it was like one child had 26 different conditions in his body. 26 in one body. And in that moment, the power of God came and healed him right before their very eyes. I mean, club feet were growing, and hands were growing, and a little boy who was inaudible since he was, you know, born, everything, 26 diseases were healed in one meeting. But out of those 26 diseases, that kid getting healed, all of a sudden the entire room, people started getting out of stretchers and wheelchairs, people were taking out their hearing aids, they were taking off their glasses. There were miracles happening in the room all at the same time. That's a moment where God begins to peel the roof off the building, and the heavens begin to open, and the glory comes down, and we get into those scriptures where 17 times in Jesus' ministry, out of about 28 times, you'll find that the scripture says everybody in the whole service, basically the meeting, was healed. And so I'm just believing for that. We're not just going to have these little one-offs here and two-offs there. But what if we get into an environment in the glory of God where everybody gets healed in the room at the same time? That's a good place for somebody to say, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's an agreement in that. And I just believe the power of God is here in this room right now. Oh, there you go. When the glory's in the room, everything changes. Can somebody say, when the glory's in the room? Everything changes. And when God shows up, I mean, that's it. I mean, we can have our notes, we can prepare to preach, we can, you know, have the unction to prophesy. But when the glory is in the room, everything changes. Answers come, ideas come. You know, tonight this is a night of ideas. I hear this in the spirit. And I'm prophesying to somebody who's in business, who's in education, who's in the medical field, whatever arena you're in, there are answers coming. The Lord spoke to me about that, about you this afternoon, because every time I come, it seems like at some point in some year, the Lord keeps speaking promotion over you, and we've seen the promotions of God. But what I heard very clearly was God is giving you answers, Josh. You're going to have answers that are game-changing answers even in this season. And so you're going to step into arenas, even sea-level arenas and suites where you're going to begin to speak, as Isaiah said, as the learned. For he gives you the tongue of the learned. And he opens up your ears to begin to hear his spirit. And so even as you begin to pray in your heavenly language, as Jude said in verse 20, he said, begin to build yourself up in the most holy faith, with speaking in the heavenly language, in the Holy Ghost, begin to build yourself up. You're building an edifice that is a container for the glory of God, for ideas and solutions and concepts to come to you. And they're going to say, how did you get that? You're going to talk beyond your education. You're going to even be talk beyond even your own self-perceived expertise. And you're going to begin to talk, and something's going to click, and doors are going to begin to open. And even beyond the field that you're in, people are going to seek you out. And you're going to find yourself standing in places like this where you're going to be giving lectures. And you're going to begin to speak words to different groups of people. And it's going to absolutely blow their mind. It's going to be like a Joseph-type answer. For a Joseph anointing rests upon you now. And it's the anointing to be able to speak to Pharaoh, interpret dreams, and give concepts and ideas, storehouse ideas that are going to be like 14-year solutions, not just for Egypt, but for the planet. And so the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you this night. There's fresh oil that's being released upon you tonight. Because guess what, man of God? Guess what? There are fresh concepts, ideas, and solutions being released to you from heaven, says the Spirit of the Lord. It's like this angelic delivery system. Angels go up and angels come down. It's like the ladder of heaven with Jacob. And you're just going to have the ladder of heaven everywhere you go. You're just going to lay your head on the pillow, and it's going to be a ladder from heaven that's going to come upon you. But here in this room tonight, I just believe that there are ideas. In fact, if you're in an arena where there needs to be solutions, ideas, concepts, and you're just asking God, give me those breakthrough things, just stand up in this room right now. Because I just believe that God is here to stir something up prophetically in this room. God's giving you discernment. He's giving you a word of knowledge, a word of knowledge, a word of knowledge, and a word of wisdom, a word of wisdom, a word of wisdom. The Issachar thing, this Issachar, they knew the times and the seasons, but they knew what Israel ought to do. And so lift up your hands, because even tonight, I almost see it like raindrops just raining on you right now. You're standing in the rain. You're standing in the rain. And the raindrops are ideas and they're concepts, and they're just coming, and they're showering over you even this night. And so, Lord, I thank you that in this season you are doing something in your church. You're causing your people to rise to the top. You're causing a spirit of excellence to come upon us, and you're giving us game-changing thoughts. Game-changing God thoughts, game-changing ideas that are going to be released in our spheres of influence. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And somebody said, amen. Be seated if you can. Be seated if you can. Woo! So the word this morning was, do you know what the R word was? Restoration. I'll give you the other three, and then I'm going to share a scripture, and then just going to keep moving. I think I might just, we'll just keep weaving this thing out. Can somebody give Pastor Derek a microphone too? Because I'm going to pull him in here with me tonight. Can you check and see if it, say hello?
Hello.
Okay, yeah, yeah. No, say hello to them. Say hello to them.
Hello, me. Everybody.
This is good. Pastor Derek is my, We fought together in many places. We've actually prophesied together on every continent except for Antarctica, and so he's got a powerful thing. So I told him, I said, I need you to jump in here. Let's do some double dutch in here. So when we get the rhythm going and you jump in, Some people don't even know what I'm talking about. Let me give you the other three R's just real quick, because I don't know if I'm going to get to them, but I said I was going to give them, so somebody's going to come at the end and say, what were they? Well, let me give them to you right now. Here they are. The other R, the next one was refreshing. Restoration, refreshing. And the scripture, Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, it says that, in fact, let me read it. You got to hear this. This is one of my favorite scriptures my grandma used to read to me when I was a kid. Acts chapter 3. And you can rest. Just rest for a moment, and then I'll pull you back in. Pastor Gabe has been playing all weekend. It says in Acts chapter 3. Don't go too far, though. Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. It says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing, can somebody say times of refreshing? Tiempos de refrigerios. Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. And so times of refreshing. I believe this weekend is a time of refreshing. It's not revival. Some people want to call everything revival. I'm coming to a new definition of revival, Pastor Garland. Revival isn't just falling out under the power of God on the floor and laughing and crying, which I love. I'll do it. I love doing it all. It's great. But that's not necessarily revival. Maybe you got revived. Revival is something when the Holy Spirit comes and he moves, and there's two things that happen. One, present day truth, revelation is released. And truth is established. And I can get into a whole teaching on this. I'm not going to. But revival is when God's truth is established. We're in a time frame in history, in the dispensation of the church, where God has been restoring the Hebrews 6, 1 through 3 truths, the seven truths, back to the church. And we're about to experience a move of God. And then the other part of revival that's very interesting is revival. The evidence of revival is it doesn't just stay in the church. If the river of God in Ezekiel 47 stayed in the temple, we'd all drown. But the river goes out. And everywhere the river goes, it brings life. And that's revival, but there's something about refreshing. And that was an R that God gave me, that he wants to teach us how to move in times of refreshing. We need to be refreshed once in a while. We just can't keep going and going and going and going and going. Something's gonna bust. But we have to learn how to be refreshed. And that's where we get the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And the Holy Spirit comes upon the church. And I just believe that this time is a time of refreshing. And throughout the year, we got to all have times of refreshing. How many know once in a while you need to take a day off? Once in a while you need to take a vacation. Once in a while you need to have time with your family. And that's a regular thing that needs to happen. I mean, there's a reason why the Lord created, God the Father created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. So how dare I not rest too? And rest means rest. Because the future belongs to those at rest. And we're going to have to move in this hour from a place of rest. Is this okay? From a place of peace. We're going to have to move in this hour as the world gets darker and there's chaos and division in the earth. God has a people who are in Babylon, but not of Babylon. And we're going to move from a place of peace and shalom and rest because we spend time with him. And so I felt like it was almost like a word of wisdom that God wanted to drop in this time. And this is not a shout and amen. There's not too many amens in this room anyway right now. But this is not a shout and amen word. This is a word of wisdom. Yeah. And the word of wisdom is be refreshed.
Yeah.
Take time in the Lord, and if you like sweet tea or lemonade, sit down or unsweetened or whatever, and be refreshed. Kick off your shoes and be refreshed. I'm in pastors' conferences. I'm talking with pastors, and I'm like, do you know what you need to do? They're sitting there going, do you know what you need to do? See a move of God? You need to chill. You need to relax. And it's like, you know what? Relax. This is a word of wisdom here tonight. Because we are in a season where the enemy, the warfare, is huge. But God's about longevity. He wants us, like Eugene Peterson wrote a book, the guy who wrote The Message, he wrote a book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Mm-hmm. And I heard this in my spirit. So I'm just going to drop this in this room, and somebody can take it if you want, but I'm just going to say times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is in moments like these, and sometimes we just need to just rest. Third R, are you ready for this? Resolution. The Lord spoke to me and said, during this weekend, there's some resolution. There's some resolution from the past. There's some resolution God wants to bring to families. There's just some, it's like that peace thing. There's some resolve that God is releasing. I'm prophesying here tonight. If you know it or not, I might not be yelling and screaming right now, but I'm prophesying God wants to bring resolution in this moment. In this season, you're going back, and some things that the enemy would try to do to hold you back and hinder you and halt you and stop you from relationships from the past, resolution's going to happen. Resolution sometimes is intentional. Sometimes I got to get on the phone, and I got to speak a word, woo, to somebody and ask somebody to forgive me. You may never, why am I getting these words of wisdom stuff here going on? You may never hear somebody that hurts you apologize to you, but that does not take away the fact that you need to forgive them. And so I just believe part of the resolution that God wants to give his people in this hour is the power of forgiveness. To be able to release. I can't carry unforgiveness in my heart and be fruitful. And I can't carry unforgiveness in my heart and move in the power of God. Resolution. That's the third R. Let me give you the fourth one. Then I'm gonna read a verse and we're gonna move in this. The fourth one is this, is what I said this morning and what we've talked about just a few moments ago. And the fourth one is revival. And the definitions of revival are getting really clear in this hour. And you can write down the scripture if you're writing these things down. Psalm 107, verses 19 through 20. And it says, and I want to prophesy this over your churches. It says in the New King James, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then verse 20 says, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. See, I want to pray for some healing here tonight, because I believe God wants to do some miracles in this room. The couple things I've learned, Pastor Garland, as I come back into the pastorate, because, you know, I pastored for, oh my goodness, let's see, 16, 18, 24 years, and then I had 10 years off. And now I'm back, and we're in the 21st month of the church. And I 16 years, I served my father and did young adult ministry and associate pastor ministry. Then I did 8 years as senior pastor in Oakland, and then 10 years travel ministry, and now almost two years back in the pastorate. And I've learned a lot, and in the 10-year hiatus that I had in the medical field and doing travel and prophetic ministry, I was able to think about, if I ever got back into that saddle, what would I do different? First of all, the number one thing I realize is I'm different. God changes us. And we have to move with that and understand that. But one of the things that I just kind of came to a place, first of all, is if people come to the house of God We have to give them opportunity to get saved. And so I have this deal, like I told you earlier. If we make a salvation call, Kevin Costner, they will come. Field of Dreams. If we make it, they will come. If we don't make it, they will not come. Because the Lord, I believe the Lord sends people to get saved. I just do. And so, you know, starts off 1, 2, hey, hallelujah. But then it gets more and more, and we've been averaging, I don't know what it is right now, 14, 15 people a week coming and getting saved. I mean, one Sunday, just a couple Sundays ago, 43 people got saved on a Sunday. And it's like, we talk about revival. God wants to do something. And how the church is going to grow is two ways. One, we're going to bring people to church. I heard one right. Let me try that again. How the church is going to grow is we're going to bring people to church. Wait, here's how I like that. I'm just going to look at you. Here's how I like to talk to my people. Do you love the church? Do you love the presence? Do you love the worship? Is the preacher okay? Is the atmosphere okay? Is this a place that you wouldn't you want to bring people here? Are you getting touched? Is your life getting touched? Are you getting healed? Is your family getting healed? Then we got to share that with some other people. And so I'm going to drop another word of wisdom in this room. I'm just going to put them all right here, and somebody after the service can come just kind of pick them up off the ground and put them in your purse. There's something about bringing somebody to the house of the Lord. And that's how the church is going to grow, where you're going to say, come and go with me to the house of the Lord, because we got healed there. We got restored there. And so I'm just going to release, and I don't even want to use the E word, because the E word is just so ominous. Evangelism. No, not evangelism. Just invite people. Just say, hey, come to the party. Just come with me to a party. Because come with me to the house of the Lord and watch what God does. And that's one way the church grows. But another way the church grows, I just see it, is just leading people to Jesus. And when you lead people to Jesus, it's amazing what takes place in the room, because they come. Have you experienced this? They come. They actually come. And you're like, who's that? Nobody knows even who they are. How did you get here? Well, I was just driving by. Hallelujah. And they get saved. And they're getting saved. And then the new saved people are the hot ones. They're the ones who just come in the door, and they're just like, everything's good. Ooh, this is good. The singers are good, and the preachers are really good, and sitting there going, I guess I'm okay, and they're just on fire. And so this scripture has been this for us, that where in Psalm 107 verses, and this is what going back into the ministry, going back into the pastorate for me, Psalm 107 verses 19 through 20, we've seen people get saved, and then there was like 724 people got saved last year in our altars at the church, and then to see people get healed. To see people get healed. I almost want to just line up my family here and just let them tell you some of the testimonies, because I don't want to just be the only one. I mean, we've seen some testimonies, of some crazy testimonies every single week. I keep them in my phone. I'm almost tempted to just kind of read some off to you, but just testimonies, and we overcome by the word of our testimony. Ood, right? It's a testimony that produces another testimony. And so it's important to share the testimony, because the testimony stirs up faith. And you say, if God did it for them, he can do it for me. Yeah. If he healed them, he can heal me. And so it's just amazing to see. And so that's another way the church grows, by the way. Talk about revival, people getting saved, people getting healed. And you can start getting a reputation like, oh my gosh, that's the place where people get healed from cancer. I have cancer, stage 3, stage 4, whatever it may be. And people are getting healed in Jesus' name. Let me get over there. And the word starts getting out that this is more than a hospital. This is a healing center. And then also it says in that scripture, and he delivered them of all their destructions. Revival is when people get saved. It's when people get healed. It's people will get delivered. And deliverance isn't always just pulling out a garbage bucket and people throwing up devils and demons and all this stuff. And you know, you're sitting there having a wrestling match. I won't come out. You know, it's not just that. In fact, I don't even believe in wrestling matches. And you all been moving in this ministry for a long time. There's an authority that we have in Jesus. And you just tell those demonic... See, let me say this. There's a difference between... I don't know why I'm in the teaching mode here for a second. There's a difference, but there's two kinds of demonic activity with an individual. There's what we call possession and oppression. Possession is within, and oppression is without. One's on the inside, and one's on the outside. And so people could have all kinds of things. They can have both at the same time. I don't know. It could be a variety of things that happen. And so we have to set people free. This is a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where people are getting set free from demonic things that are coming their way. And they're not just old generational things. Sometimes people just open up gateways to let things in. But people are going to get delivered. Yeah. Have you ever seen a delivered person? Their countenance changes. Their verbiage changes. Their outlook changes. All of a sudden they move from a place of heaviness and they're light and they're walking around and they have purpose again. And God just, he's released them again. And so demonic activity is real. And we don't glorify demonic activity, but I don't even know what to do sometimes right now, you guys, because, I mean, you know, we were in the middle of worship the other night in conference and they're like four rows behind us. I'm like, they have like... There's like three or four people, and this lady's just like flopping like a fish. And I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to keep worshiping. This is normal right here. We're just going to go, and, you know, it just happens every single service. But I'm telling you, there's a revival, and Louisiana is ripe. I just look over the state of Louisiana, and I see an outline of the state with the flame of God, the fire of God, outlining the state, and God says, I'm going to cause the nation to look at Louisiana again in a way like it's never seen before. And even all the black magic and the voodoo and the witchcraft that's been in the region, God's giving a people an authority over those things, and even strongholds, not just over individuals and families and generations, but even over land. Over streets and neighborhoods. God's going to give an authority. He's cleaning how the fire. It's going to be the fire of God that's coming. It's the Acts 2 Pentecost fire of God that's coming to the state of Louisiana. And so you're here in this room. We're here in Tennessee for a respite, for a time of refreshing. But there's a revival that's on the horizon. And the fire of God is going to begin to move in that place. And it's moving not just in church, but it's moving out of the church. For the church is the place where the pillar of fires are going to come down and God's glory is going to be released out of those places. But fire, I see just through the people of God, they're going to carry the fire of God into the different arenas in the areas, in the cities, and the fire of God is coming to the state. America will look at Louisiana again. Amen. But they're going to look at, the reputation is going to change, says the Spirit of the Lord. And it's been a place, even where the Super Bowl just took place, it's going to be a place where now a mighty God is going to be seen. And it's actually going to be a known as a place, Pastor Garland, of creative miracles. Yes. And that's what in Praise Church and in Cross Church, God says, I'm going to do creative miracles. I'm just closing my eyes because I see limbs growing back. I see people in wheelchairs getting up. I see people who are on death's door, in the bed, rising up with resurrection life. For even as I mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the two that God is about to release in this hour, the two truths that God is going to release in this hour, are the truths that were known in Joseph's day when he was in prison, where he spoke resurrection life to the butler, but he also spoke eternal judgment to the baker. Also, it's in the book of Acts where Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit, and because they lied to the Holy Spirit about their offering, they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they dropped dead in the service because the glory of God was in that place, eternal judgment. But then there's a resurrection life where Eutychus in Troas he falls out of the window, out of a church meeting, he falls into the street, and Paul does something different than Elijah. Elijah and Elisha did, because when the young man died, in both Elijah and Elisha's case, what did they do? They took him into the back room, and they laid over them with the door shut. But in Acts chapter 20, when Eutychus fell out of the window in Troas, he was laying bloodied in the street and dead, and everyone's looking, and everybody sees what's happening. And Paul doesn't say, take his body into the back room and shut the door. But in the New Testament, we're actually going to do this out in the open. And Paul commanded the life of God to come back into Eutychus, and he got up and became a mighty preacher for the gospel. And I'm telling you right now, God's about to do some things out in the open.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
And there's creative miracles that God is going to do. And so he says resurrection life and eternal judgment are being released in this hour simultaneously from Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 through 3. And it's going to be released. And he says Louisiana is the ripe ground that I'm going to begin a move of God where you're going to begin to see resurrection life being released. The power of God being released, and also at the same time eternal judgment. Well, you cannot lie to the Holy Spirit because the glory level is rising in this place. And so, Pastor Garland, I want you to put out your hands. Pastor Brandon, put out your hands. Pastor Rochelle, Pastor Bev, put out your hands. As senior pastors, there is an anointing that's being released. I see fire in your hands. The fire, you got your mic. Come jump in with me. The fire of the Holy Spirit is being released, and creative miracles are being released, and your faith is not going to be shaken in this time, but you're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. In Cross Church, there's going to be so many miracles, it's going to be unbelievable. Breast cancer, you're going to have authority over breast cancer with women. You're going to have an authority with prostate cancer with men. Yeah, we're getting personal up in here. You're going to have an authority tumor. The atmosphere of the house, tumors are going to dissolve in worship. While you're preaching the word, whoo, insomnia and migraines and headaches are going to just lift off of people. Autism. There are children in your church the Spirit of God is going to touch. That he's going to raise up as prophets and evangelists with creativity. And autistic children, it's going to be known. Something's happening over there. Even with special needs ministry with children. It's a place of rest. It's a place of peace. It's a place where miracles are happening. And God releases miracles in the house. Pastor Derek, come, please.
Amen. You know, just praying for you guys this afternoon, I really felt like the Lord just laid upon my heart that there has been a cry in your heart, even in this last season. Lord, make us ready. Make us ready. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit would come and confirm that you are ready. You have worked and you have moved furniture and done spiritually speaking, to where it needs to be, to prepare the place, to prepare the dwelling, to prepare the tabernacle for what God wants to do. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit would come tonight to let you know that he's bringing a wind behind you. And the work going forward is going to feel different. There's going to be another kind of, there's another level of momentum coming behind you. And you're going to know that the Lord is with you in another kind of way. You're going to feel his strength lift. You're going to feel things move and click into place that you've been praying about. It's not going to take as much effort because there's a momentum from God that's coming during this next season. I believe you've already even stepped into it. And you're going to experience the hand of God in a way that you have not experienced in a long time. It's not even something that you're trying to get back to. It's something fresh and something new. Something beyond your own power. Something beyond your own intellect. Something beyond your own. I hear the Lord saying that you have believed the word of the Lord. And you have believed the word of the prophet. And he's going to bless you. And there's been some times that has where there has been delay. And in that delay, God has done a work. He's pruned and he's fixed and he's made you ready for what he wants to do in this hour. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And the Lord says, I'm going to make, you stay here with me, make my home in Homa a place for my glory. And the Lord says that some people are going to surprise you in your team. Because you're going to wonder, if we have a move of the Holy Spirit, what are they going to do? They're going to surprise you. There's a hunger that has been germinating that has been happening for a very long time. And when the outpour of the Spirit begins to move, and even in this, what we're talking about, this wave, this wind that's coming, it's going to just be astonishing. And God's going to give you people from Catholicism, going to give you people from even mainline denominations who are hungry for more. They're going to start coming to the house. They already are coming, but they're going to come because of a move of the Holy Spirit, because they're hungry. But how it's going to start, I'm telling you right now, is souls and miracles are being released. Miracles are going to be released, and the word is going to get out. And the presence of God, the glory of God is in the room already. And it's just going to be so tangible, so real, that even the hardheads, he says, I'm after the hardheads in this hour. Because if they're so hard-headed about what they believe in, they're going to be even more hard-headed for me. And so God says that even in the house, there are even young evangelists that God's going to begin to raise up. And they're going to be in middle schools and high schools. They're going to be in that area. And the Lord says, even in your youth ministry, there's a move of God's Spirit. And your youth are being set apart by God even in this time. And they're going to be the ones who are going to be driving the worship and driving the atmosphere. And I see just groups of young people in the altars during the worship sets, during the services, just coming forward and just with their hands raised up, giving their lives to God fully. And so God comes into your youth ministry, and he's going to begin to raise them up to begin to touch their generation. For the Lord says, I want the campuses, even near the church, I want the campuses. I want to move on the campuses, even on the school campuses. And so the Lord says, I'm moving, I'm doing it. Ha, and I'm going to do it quickly, says the Spirit. Watch this fall. A shift take place. Even in the area, even in the governmental arena, there's a shift that's going to take place even by this fall, even with those in governmental positions. You're going to be having some conversations with certain ones that are decision makers in that region, and they're going to be coming to you, and they're having to make decisions about this and that, even about growth and expansion, because there's a doubling that's coming to your area. I can see it in the Spirit, even a doubling of population and a doubling of a lot of different things, of finances, and there's a thing, there's a move happening, a shift happening into that area. And so there's a time where the fathers of the city, the decision makers, are in this place. And the Lord says, I'm going to make you a voice in that area. And you're going to be as a known, trusted, proven man of wisdom.